Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you a DC roller skating fan? Well, even if you're not, you know it's a culture all its own. And new independent film looks at DC skate culture while weaving family and friendship into homegrown storylines.
Oh, we have respect for our elders. When they move their wheelchair off the side of the floor and over to the side of the rink. If you can't keep up with the times, old man, then you need to get off the floor.
What's going on? What's going on? Jaja, I told you, if I have any more problems out, you and your crew, I'm putting all of y'all out of here for 2 months.
It ain't even no problem. No problem, Mr. Key. You just had a little misunderstanding with the senior citizens. That's all that is.
Keith, the problem is this. These rookies right here think I'm too old to be on your skate floor.
You guys don't even know. You're talking to a legend here. Yeah.
Oh, you're a legend? Since you're a legend, how come I ain't never heard of you? Who are you?
Don't need to know who I am. Huh.
That's right. Y'all don't need to know that information. All you guys need to know is that his crew will smash your crew.
Yeah, there's a lot of smack talking in this movie. That is an excerpt from the new independent film, Old School Rollers. And tonight we are going to talk to the executive producer, the writer, the director, Tree Walters. Also, we're going to hear tonight from Kenneth Rollo Davis, lead actor who plays Anthony Harrison. And if you want to get in on this conversation, you give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Tree, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. Turn your radio down in the background, too, because I can hear an echo, and I won't be able to hear you if you can. Or maybe that's Kenneth, because he's just used to flexing his muscles and skating, but not used to doing radio interviews. So turn your radios down for me. I'd appreciate it. And Kenneth, thank you so much for joining the conversation as well.
Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor to be a part of it.
So, first of all, Tree, why roller skating? Where did you come up with this idea? I mean, is this your passion? Is this your hobby?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in the streets of Washington, D.C., on the northeast side in Kenilworth, and I had two pastimes to keep me out of trouble. That was go-go music and roller skating. And so, yes, it's part of my passion. I actually come from a skating family, from my grandfather to cousins and aunts and brothers. And it was just one of those things that really, really kept me focused and kept me out of trouble growing up in the streets of Washington, D.C.
You know, I had a chance to preview the movie last night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that struck me, and I'm going to do my best not to give it away, because there were some really interesting things. And I have to admit, I don't skate.
Yeah.
I have a lot of swag, but I have no balance.
Wow.
Okay. So, but the thing that really strikes me right off the top is that this film has a lot of DC flavor. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because it was so important for me to make sure that this film really highlighted D.C. And it was important to me because, really, of the gentrification that's taking place throughout the city. I grew up in D.C. where, you know, everywhere you came out on the street, you was gonna feel that go-go flavor. We used to be called Chocolate City for a reason. It was good reason. But lately, it's not so much that we're Chocolate City anymore. And we know that a few years ago, the go-go community kind of really faced a serious gentrification of the go-go music. And they started the campaign, Don't Mute D.C. And so growing up in D.C., that was part of my passion. And I was a part of that movement as well, too. I still work with that campaign, the Don't Mute D.C. campaign. And so it was important for me to highlight this awesome culture that we have here, because I don't want to lose it. And I don't want my children to lose it and their children to lose that. And so I just wanted to make sure that all that was highlighted in the film.
Mm-hmm. And I think, as I said, right from the beginning, if you are a D.C. native, or if you've been here for a while, you really get a flavor for that with the go-go music, the locations, the iconic places that you really show in the film. But yeah, more than that, I think that you really helped set the scene for not only what was, but what is. And yeah, with Kenneth's character, and Kenneth, if you will allow me a Kevin Hart moment, how old are you? Kenneth, did you hear me? Did you hear
me? No, I did not hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said, if you'll allow, see, that's why I say you got to turn your radio down. If you'll allow me a Kevin Hart moment, how old are you?
I'm 60.
You're 60. Dang! because you're built like you're 25.
Yeah.
And you've got to be one of the most fit brothers walking the street.
Thank you.
How did you connect with Tree for this role in this film?
Oh, wow. Well, that actually started years ago. Tree and myself were members of the same church, and that's a City of Praise with Joel and Yolanda Peoples. And we knew each other just in passing. We would say hi to each other every once in a while. And I knew that Tree was in the film industry because he did all the work for the church. And I just had a vision one day that, I was working on something along the lines of film myself. And I had a vision one day that Tree and myself would be working together one day. And I came up to him and I said that to him. And I don't know, he might have took it lightly. But then next thing you know, 10 years later, he gave me a call and said, you know, he had a vision about a skating film, and he wanted me to take the lead role. And that was a surprise to me because I've never really acted, not behind the camera, at least on stage, you know, plays here and there, but nothing serious. So, I just thank Tree for allowing me to be a part of such a great project.
Talk to me about your character.
I didn't hear the first part of what.
Talk to me about your character.
Oh, the character. Anthony is just a mild-mannered husband that has retired, and he's looking for something to do with his life. I don't want to give too much away about the movie, but Anthony's mild-mannered. He's just someone that I like to think he's a lot like myself. Likes to reach out and help people. Tries to invest back into the community any way he can when he has the opportunity, and just likes to see people move forward.
But I think you can tell us a little bit about it, but without giving away too much, because I think it's really important, mm-hmm, that because there are a couple of relationships. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. your character has, and probably I think one of the primary ones is the relationship that he has with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
I have a wife. We have a great relationship. We both love God. I think that there's similarities there. We both like to build together and just grow together. And she's like myself. She likes to skate. She she gives back to the community like I do. My wife is actually, she is very much like, you know, my wife in the movie. So yeah, that's true. That's true. And with Anthony, he is someone that he's been skating a long time, and his wife encourages him to get back into it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something I went through as well, you know.
Tree, if I may ask, Tree, why did you write the relationship between, you know, Anthony and his wife the way that you did?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. We all know that it takes a village. And I wanted to make sure that in this film, you could really relate to that village, especially the relationship between Anthony and his wife and how she encourages him. And the first thing she says is, I want you to fulfill your dream. I want you to, you know, step out and do everything that the Lord put in your spirit, because she knows that he's just retiring. In the movie, the character is retiring. And she's like, but you're not going to sit down and not do nothing. I'm going to encourage you to step out and do some of the great things that you thought about years ago. And then, just the relationship between the granddaughter and the grandmother as well. We wanted to make sure that we tied all that in so you really got a sense of the community. Now, this is what's so amazing. When I grew up, and I'm going to tell you something, Harold, the role of Jar Jar that's in the film, the young character, that is actually my true story. Hmm. I come from I'm the youngest of five. I grew up in Northeast Washington, D.C. My father wasn't there. I've seen my father here and there, maybe twice out of a year sometimes. And so that character, Jar Jar, in the film, that's the true story of my life and how the streets have really become my father. But then as I began to get a little older, I had the older generation to encourage me that I could do better. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to highlight what was it like for me growing up in the streets of Washington, D.C., and what changed me? What was the main mechanism that made me do that U-turn to where I am right now? And that's what you see in the film, those different relationships.
We're talking about the independent film Old School Rollers. If you have a comment or a question about skate culture in D.C., give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Shock, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just want to say that I saw the film. I had two friends in there, Keith Moore and Jeanette Harris and Kathy Muhammad, actually three different friends that was in that movie. I was at the premiere at the Arc, met the master Tree Walters and all the other people. I highly recommend the movie. Pay whatever it is that you can forward to see that movie. Pay somebody else's way to go. It was very touching. I'm a family man myself. I've been married for 31 years. And it was just so moving and so well written and so well acted, and the fact that I was in the real estate business, and so the gentrification I could relate to, being a married man, I could relate to that. So that's what I want to say without taking up too much of the time. And good evening to you, Mr. Tree Walters.
Shock, can you also relate to being a Trump supporter? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Wait a minute.
That's all I'm going to say. You got to see the movie.
I don't support that.
You have
my cornrows.
You have to see the movie to know what I'm talking about. I tell you that all I can say, that was hilarious.
I know that part of it. Yeah. I thought you knew that I voted for him the first time.
Oh, I didn't know that. You didn't have to say that. I was going to.
I snitched on myself.
Oh man, why did you have to put yourself out there like that?
I know, man.
I didn't know that. Look, Shock, thank you so much for your phone call.
Okay, and listen, my pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. And by the way, if you want to see the film, because it's going to be at the AFI Theater on Colesville Road in Silver Spring, we have some tickets for you. All you have to do is send an email to promotions@whur.com. That's promotions at WHUR.com, and we will take care of free passes for our listeners while they last. And that email, of course, will be on our website, as always, after 8:30. And you can hear, of course, the podcast for this conversation. Again, send us an email if you want free passes to Old School Rollers. Send the email to promotions@whur.com. Arthur calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Arthur. What's on your mind?
My question is, why they ain't put all nothing for the real rollers in the city? I could have gotten the movie. I'm old school, like the brother, as far as going back to the organ playing at Calorama Road.
Tree, I'll give you 30 seconds to answer that question before I go to the break.
Well, actually, we did. We put the word out through the whole skating community. We did a casting call for any skater. We had multiple skaters that actually submitted their videos, and we looked at them, and we accepted the ones that we felt like it was really going to be a good fit for the film. And not only that, but we didn't even turn anybody away. We asked people if they wanted to actually come out to skate community to take part in the extras that was in the background. And we also put them on the floor when we had Reston Jackson to perform. They were out to on the floor. So we reached out to the skate community throughout the whole DMV.
Yeah. Arthur, thank you so much for your phone call. Need to take a break. When we come back, more about old school rollers. And we're going to go into a little bit of skate culture history in the DMV. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141, 96.3, HD2, the app. Just download it to your smartphone, and, of course, 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the new independent film, Old School Rollers. My guests are Tree Walters, the writer, director, and executive producer, and Kenneth Rollo Davis, lead actor. He plays Anthony Harrison. If you have a comment or a question about this film or DC skate culture, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. So, you know, Tree, one of the things, and correct me if I'm wrong, but were most of the scenes shot at the Seabrook Skating Rink?
Well, the main battle took place at Seabrook, but the other portion took place at Skate Palace, that's in Temple Hills, Maryland.
Okay, because I was born in Southeast, and after the riots in '68, you know, we moved out to Prince George's, out to Lanham, and one of my dear friends, and this is why I ask, Dexter Jennings, wonderful brother, still one of my closest friends. He was a skater, and he, you know, introduced me to skating. I like I said, I didn't do anything with it at all, but he was in a skating club, and I can remember sitting with him at his house as he literally spent hours with a can of boot black polish with matches and a white handkerchief polishing his black skates to a perfect gloss because there was so much pride that he took, and we're talking about during the, the late 70s, and when we were in, high school, and the like, but skate culture really began to change a lot during the late 80s and even the 90s. It went from a family kind of event, and unfortunately, it, you know, as skate palaces began to change and began to close, unfortunately, there was also, you know, violence that had come around that. Talk to me about how skate culture changed as you were coming up.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. It's gone through its ups and its downs. It's gone through the periods when, especially when DC was dealing with the gang violence, and that started to trickle into the skating rings. And when you would try to go to the skating rings to just have a nice time, you would see yourself caught up in the middle of that violence. I think right now, it definitely has changed for the better now. The reason I say that, because most people that's coming to the skating rink today, they really come for that craft, for that culture, for that, and they don't really come there. It's more like a social gathering now. And so any skating rink that you go through, whether it's Skate Palace or it's over at Seabrook or even down to Anacostia, because we did some shooting down at Anacostia Park, which is a very historical place for skating, and you see that is beginning to turn back to a family and community event now, rather than those who were violently coming to the skating rink back in the 80s. It's definitely changing for the better now.
Well, how would you describe skate culture, Kenneth? Because as you said, you know, you are a young 60 and a skater. And so how would you describe the evolution of skating in D.C.? Because I also saw your work in the movie outside of the non-skating acting.
Well, I would describe the culture. It definitely has changed a lot, you know, since I came. I actually came from Boston. I was born here, but I did most of my skating in Boston growing up. But when I came to D.C. in 83, and I've been here since then, the culture has changed so much. And I think that's mostly due to, you know, cell phones, internet, people getting on the internet, seeing the different styles in different cities. You know, each city has its own identity, basically, when it comes to styles. And when you have the internet and it's sort of, you know, everyone's learning styles in Atlanta, they're learning Chicago style, everyone's just mixing and integrating. So it has definitely turned into this monster now, where the skaters now are just so phenomenal. They are phenomenal because you're mixing everything and you get a nice mix when you put the styles together. So that's what you're seeing now.
Yeah, I think you make such an excellent point. Mm-hmm. Because some of the things that I've seen on social media where roller skating has become just as graceful as ice skating.
Yeah.
You don't just have roller skaters now, you have roller dancing. Just mm-hmm. like you have ice dancing. And if you didn't know that they were on roller skates and that they were at roller rinks, you would almost assume that they were on ice. And because the same kinds of athletics, the same kinds of graceful movements that are historically identified with ice skating and ice dancing are now seen on roller skates, and I think it's just amazing to me.
Well, I want to say yes and no on that, because, you know, I think a lot of the roller skating that I had to say it like this, but when it comes to roller skating, a lot of that is usually in the Black community. Okay, it's not so much in the media's eye as ice skating, but it's always been around. The moves have always, the dancing, the skills, the technique, all of that has always been there. It's just never gotten the attention that it should have gotten until Mr. Tree Waters came out with this film and he started to train up. So here we go. but it's always been there. It really has. It's evolved, though, now, even more so. But, yes, it's always been there. And even if you look at our history, there is a skate museum, African-American skate museum. Tasha Kaufman actually has that museum. It's in D.C., and you can go there and you can look at the history of roller skating throughout the country going way back. And it was always something that was sort of hidden, but it was always there.
Where is that museum? Because I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about that.
Oh, God.
So why did I have to put you on the spot? See, there you go.
I can't tell you exactly where it was, and I'm hoping that someone will call in, because there was a few people with me that went to that museum with me, but I wasn't exactly sure where I was. I know we were in D.C., but I couldn't tell you the address. But it's very important that we know our history, you know, because, you know, I mean, we have to know our history. We have to know where we come from. You know, and that museum is very important for skaters, even coming up skaters. And one of the things we're trying to do now is also introduce our newer skaters to our history, you know, people that came before them.
Yeah. And I think also one of the things that we did see in the movie, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tree, was the Anacostia Park roller skating pavilion. Was that also something that we saw?
Yes, we did several scenes from down there.
Yeah,
we definitely wanted to highlight that place because it's just so historical to the skate culture here in the DMV. If you not actually had that, would have been kind of like a slap in the face if we didn't highlight that one.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jason, calling from Northeast D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good evening to you and your guests. I just want to say that I was part of that skate culture during the late 70s and 80s, and there was a place called America on Wheels over there on Calorama Road in Northwest D.C., and the kids would get together like Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and there would be practice, you know, skating, and then we would have competition with kids from other areas, D.C. and Maryland and Virginia, and we were skating on, we would what they call skate dancing. And, you know, we would dance to the music, you know, the Michael Jackson and all the latest artists at that time. And we would actually skate while we were dancing. And the competition was great. I mean, it was D.C. was quite known for that. And it was very nice. But over the years, as was stated, things happen, you know, with the gentrification coming in and that sort of the America on Wheels. I think they made a museum out of that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And they're going back with the culture of how skating began, how it made such an impression on D.C. and the kids. You know, and one thing about that, we talk about that has a lot of bearing about what's going on with the young kids today.
Yeah.
See, today we don't have this kind of entertainment where kids can come together. I know kids were all over D.C. would come together Saturday at America on Wheels, and we would have competition, and it was, you know, it was a place to meet folks. Guys would meet the young girls, and blah blah blah. Dates would start. You know, it was a really big social affair, and it was great. And I think like in the late 80s, and that started to phase out with people moving out of D.C. and gentrification, you know, came about. But it was a great time. And, you know, I did my fair share. And it's nice to hear that you gentlemen, your guests, having a making a movie about this, because I think that's something that a lot of the young folks need to know about. And it was quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for sharing your story and your thoughts about the D.C. skate culture. I appreciate your time and your phone call.
Thank you.
For you, Tree, you know, one of the things also that I'm always fascinated with when it comes to, you know, filmmaking, because is this your first film, or what's the, if you can kind of give me the film lineage, you know, for you personally?
No, this is actually my fourth full length, and two more slated to come out. And so the name of my company is Outreach Productions, and my theme behind my company is that everyone in your family will be able to see all my movies or whatever I do, from your grandmother down to your newborn, because I concentrate on community building. And so my films are based on that. And so Old School Rollers right now is just one of a few films that I've shot. And I'm glad that I kind of released that right now before I release some other things, because I wanted to stick with my roots of the DMV first, just to let people know, not just about the skate culture, but also wanted them to know that there's talent here when it comes to production, when it comes to acting, and just the mere fact that you are doing what you're doing at WHUR right here in the city at Howard, on the campus of Howard, and so we needed to highlight that there's a lot of talent here in the DMV.
Yeah,
and this, speaking of, you know, production, and this is a question that's coming from someone who does not skate, but is always curious about, you know, film production. When it, and I don't think it's, you know, don't jump on my head for giving this stuff away, because I think you still, even if I tell you about it, you still have to see it to really appreciate it. And this really is about the technique of filmmaking. How did you get some of the shots that you got? Because you really have to be able to follow the skaters at high speed. Did you shoot some of this stuff yourself?
No, not some of it. I shot all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, like I say, I'm a skater, so I'm willing to put on my boots and get out there and get whatever shot I have to get. And it's kind of tricky, you know, because I was trying to get a couple of shots where I was backward skating, and they were following, they were, you know, coming towards me. And so, you know, the blind side of not really seeing in the back of me and hoping that I don't run into the wall or something like that. But I had to get that shot. As a matter of fact, we had released the film, and I went to see the film at the premiere when we did it over in Southeast. And I wasn't satisfied with what I shot for the first round back. And I called everybody, and they thought I was crazy. They was like, this movie is finished. I was like, no, it's not. I was like, we got to go back, and we got to do some more stuff. Because I just was not satisfied, and I wanted to give people everything that I saw in my spirit when I put this movie together. And I just felt like the first time I shot, it wasn't complete. So we went back, and we added some additional scenes that will be highlighted at this next showing on November the 7th at the AMC Magic Johnson Theater.
Mm. Tell me about the upcoming event at AFI.
Well, the event at AFI is a private screening that I have set forth for BET, for WHUR, and for now TV1. And so we wanted to let these networks that are here know that there's a production company called Outreach Productions that's doing some family value productions that they really need to pay attention to. And so we sent the invitation out, and they responded. BET responded. One of the VPs of marketing responded, say he will be there. Tia Smith from from TV One said she will be there, and so many folks from WHUR said that they will be there. As a matter of fact, Luma Hodge from WHUT said, hey, I want to be there and bring a guest. So that's a private screening for the industry to come out. The public screening will be taking place on Sunday, November the 7th at 4 p.m. at the AMC in Landover. And those tickets are on sale right now at eventbrite.com.
Okay. Okay. And like I said, earlier, if you want to, participate, if you want passes, and we do have some passes, just send us an email at promotions@whur.com. And as long as those passes last, mm-hmm. we will get them to you. And I will put that on whur.com after the program, as always, along with this particular podcast after 8:30, as we do for every single podcast every night for the Daily Drum. What do you believe is the message for this particular film, Tree? In the end, what is the overarching message?
The overall message is that we are a powerful people when we know how to come together as a community. not really giving away the film, like you said, Harold, but my favorite part of the film is when it gets to the end and the youth know how to give homage to those that came before them. I'll leave it right there because it's a very, very, very powerful moment. That the character who represents my life, my real story, he really wakes up at the end. He gets it. It's just like it's a revelation. Just hits him at the end, and he says this powerful speech that people probably wouldn't think will ever come from this particular person, and it was so powerful that everyone in the skating ring had to actually shut up just to hear what he had to say. So I'm going to leave it right there and kind of like leave it at a cliffhanger so people will be more interested to come out because it's very, very popular.
I have to also tell you, Kenneth, that there are some moments that I really appreciate in the film. They're funny. And I don't mean side splitting funny, but I do mean funny from the perspective of as a father and as a parent, and again, there is the moment with the kind of girlfriend and boyfriend thing, where they go down to the basement and they shut the door but that's, and again, I'm just going to leave it at that. But that, that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And, and as a parent, I really appreciate it. But the subtlety of it and the way your wife handles it, because before she speaks on it, as a parent, my reaction was going to be, okay, wait a minute. You need to hold on. But the way that she handles it, and I'm just giving everybody all the cliffhanger they want, but the way she handled it was just the finesse,
yeah,
and the grace and the humor is such a real thing that I think that a lot of parents with young children who are beginning to think about dating, parents are going to put that in their pocket. Mm-hmm. I just really think that that is such a good piece. I just thought that was...
Oh, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a daughter. She's 23. And the reason that she has lived to the ripe old age of 23 is because of moments like that.
Diane, she played that role so well. She played that role. So, I mean, I couldn't think of any other way you could have played that any better. That was just amazing the way she did that. And it was comical. And each time it premiered, the audience always responded to that part of the movie. Yeah. They loved it.
But also, as I said in the very beginning of this discussion, and I don't think it should be lost on, you know, lost on anyone, that there does need to be a deep dive. And I think the audience should, when they have an opportunity, to really pay attention to the relationship between Anthony and the wife. Because I think that's so important when you talk about, you know, yeah, this is about skate culture. Yes, it's about, you know, family and some other stuff. But I think there is an undercurrent that if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss that. And the thing about it is there from the very beginning, you know, to the end. And I think that in this day and age, to have a mature black married couple seen in a loving relationship, not just as, old mature married folks, but also as friends who are also working together as a married couple, supporting each other, not just in the way they speak to each other, but in the way that they look at each other. All of these things are really subtle.
Yes.
And you have to be able to convey that through the storyline. And I think that's a really important piece that, as I mentioned before, that you'll miss it if you get caught up in the fact that, oh, this is just about skating. And let's not forget about the friendship piece. I almost forgot about that. Can we talk about how important that was?
The friendship between the
all of them. Yeah, the old school rollers.
Yeah, that's a beautiful relationship between them. They hadn't actually skated together in over 25 years, and one of the friends actually initiates the battle. You know. And Anthony doesn't want anything to do with this at all. But he convinced Anthony, you know, we need to do this because these youth need to understand they got to be put in their place. So they decided they won't go out and reach out to the old gang. And none of them wants to deal with them. They're like, no, you're crazy. We don't want to do this. But they eventually get together and they realize that they really genuinely missed each other. They really missed the culture. They missed the community. And that's so much reflected in the film. So, yeah, the friendship is a very, very important piece as well, too. But you're 100% correct about the wife, because if it wasn't for the wife and her encouragement at the beginning of the movie, he would have never stepped out in faith to do what he needed to do.
What's next for you, Tree, when it comes to your next? You said there are two films on deck. Can you tell us about that?
Well, there's one that's currently out on my network, and I believe the same network that you've seen the movie on, there's another film on there called Those We Don't Speak Of, which is available for rent right now. But I also participated in doing the production for a dance battle movie as well, too, called 33rd in Memphis. Now, I didn't write that one. That was written by Sean Cosby, but I did all the productions behind that. And then we have a comedy that's going to be so funny, and it's called Get Off the Pew. It is a funny, funny comedy. You don't want to miss that.
Okay. Any final words from you, Kenneth, about either this film or what's ahead for you?
I would just like to say, you know, we had a fantastic crew, a fantastic cast that made this whole thing possible, and that this is a movie that's long overdue,
And it's something that society needs right at this moment. With COVID going on, with all the dysfunctional families and all, you know, everything that's going on, this movie is very timely. It's well written and it's true to life. And without the cast and crew, I don't think it would have been possible. And of course, with the writer Tree, you know, it's all his, man. It's straight from his mind. So I just want to say, you know, I thank God for him.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Tree Walters, Kenneth Rollo Davis, for spending a little time with us and talking about old school rollers. You know, Tree, you know, I will see you next month at WHUT for our next project.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations. Good luck to you. And we'll see what's on the horizon.
I appreciate it so much.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, October 28th. I'm Harold Fisher.